dialed in to Joe Bruker's Tactical Muskie Podcast with your host, legendary angler and Hall of Famer, Joe Bruker.
All right, guys, the man, the myth, the legend, the boot daddy himself, Joe Bruker's Tactical Muskie Podcast. Joe.
Hey, buddy, how are you? It sounds like you've been a very busy guy.
You know, I always try to give the best intros. It's the, you pay for the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
You're dynamite, man. You're dynamite. You're dynamite on the voice. You're dynamite on the bass guitar and the lead guitar and everything else. But, you know,
it
also muskies, catching big muskies. You know, it's in this time of the year, Steve, you know, this tactical podcast, this is kind of an interesting time for us because this is one of the best times of the year to go musky fishing. You know, the jet skiers and the water skiers, you know, the kids are back to school, you know, the big rush of power boats and tourists is on. Yet it's not cold. It's up here. It's not cold yet.
Yeah.
You know, but it can be. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we want to kind of cover today is, you know, this is one of the this time of the year, the month of September into early October is one of the very best times of the year to catch a big fish shallow.
Mm-hmm. On the 360 podcast, I was talking about bullfrog top raiders in the reeds in Minnesota just yesterday.
Yeah. See, I mean, the whole tackle box.
Yeah.
The whole tackle box, you know, the whole tackle box is open. What's really neat is in the pre-turnover, just to give our listeners, you know, just kind of you're before the turnover in a lot of these lakes, but even these bodies of water that don't turn over, your water temperature is still, you know, warm. Mm-hmm. And you know, the water temperatures vary from region to region, but you know, where I'm at right now, those water temperatures in the high 60s and we're going to get a little warm front this weekend. You know, we're going to crack some 80s that's going to take those water temperatures back in the 70s in the shallow water. Now what happens, you know, in the fall, you because of the shortening of days and everything, is you start to lose vegetation. There's this built-in mechanism inside fish and deer and animals. Fall is here. Mm-hmm. Fall is approaching. And, you know, the deer have lost their velvet, or the bucks. And when you see the bucks lose their velvet, you know, that's why I always try to compare things. You know, the whole thing fits together, right? I mean,
right. It's all,
wild game, the fish. Yeah. So
same
why
puzzle.
Do the bucks... Why did the bucks lose their velvet this time of year? Because the shortening days, you know, the pituitary gland reads the amount of light they're getting, and they, you know, their testosterone kicks up and they go into this pre-rut mode. Mm-hmm. The fish do the same thing. They have a pituitary gland. They there's less light. They feel that, you know, they feel it, that early fall is here. And you know, it's a seasonal reaction. Mm-hmm. And what happens is just more big fish become accessible to anglers shallow. And that's the big thing. It's really that simple, is you concentrate a lot more of your efforts shallow. So the whole tackle box is opened up, but all those shallow water lures that people like to fish with that may in a few weeks not be as good right now are really good. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, so, you know, you can be fishing real shallow slop with, you know, from spoons and spinner baits and top water, you know, to jerk baits along the flats and the edges. Everything is kind of like there. But the big thing is the fish are shallow. You know, one of the things I do this time of year to kind of simplify my tactical musky approach, mm-hmm, is I fish shallow. I fish, you know, weeds this time of the year are like, this is a primo time to catch big fish in weeds.
Yep.
Now, of course, when you're fishing weeds this time of the year, you know, weeds are at their peak. So you're going to be dealing with weeds. So that's why, you know, the spinnerbait game and the spoon game opens up. Top water is a big thing. But the best weeds I've found in the fall have bait fish, mm-hmm, have a visual, you know, you recognize there's bait fish there, you know, and when you're around bait fish, You know, it's you're close. You're near musk. Muskies are not going to be far from it. They're not going to be far from the food source. The food source concentrates. Here's the thing I think happens too in the pre turnover. Not something that a lot of people talk about, but you know, I've written about it in books and talked about it in videos and whatnot. Is that this thing I talk about where these pituitary gland reactions, these fish sense the fall is coming. Mm-hmm. It goes all the way down to the bait fish, and all these bait fish and everything sense that things are changing big time, and the turnovers are about to occur. And then, you know, there's going to be cold fronts and all this other stuff. And so they move, you know, and concentrate up in the shallows. And, mm-hmm. and that's what's kind of a cool thing, is that everything's reacting to this. Now, here's one of the cool kind of like throw a wrench into the whole thing, yet it's a good wrench, is cold fronts tend to give us a struggle right in the summertime.
Right.
Cold fronts in the fall trigger mm-hmm. movement. Cold fronts trigger the deer, for example. Cold fronts, you know, when it's warm, these deer, forget it. They're not moving. Cold fronts trigger muskies the same way. When, you know, when I get a cold front, I'm looking for a north wind now. Right. I'm looking for a north wind.
Everything that was once bad is good. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I get a cold front coming, you know, it's a good thing. It's when I see winds, you know, when they're predicting winds out of the north and all that kind of stuff, it's like, oh yeah, baby, this triggers big fish movement. And it isn't only muskies. It's every species that you love mm-hmm. to fish. The you know, cold fronts seem to trigger in this situation. So it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that I really look forward to, you know, because, yeah, you know, in the summer you see a cold front, you go, well, we may have a tough day here, you know.
Right. Well, no, that's the train. It's the crazy train.
Yeah. It's pretty normal over here. You know, they're all over the place, and you know, I'm downtown in Alma talking to you right now. But anyways, yeah. And so you know, you're thinking about. So we're talking shallow. Mm-hmm. We're talking, you know, everything in the tackle box works, and all those great shallow water lures you like to fish with, they're good now. Cold fronts are good. You know, it's. And all this stuff, you know, think about it too. Cold fronts and all this stuff keeps all those knuckleheads off the water that you don't want running up the shallows and tearing up weeds and everything. So it's a good situation. Now, one of the other things that we should talk about quickly too mm-hmm. is bait size.
Yeah.
This is definitely, you know, always, you know, when do you fish big baits? When do you fish small baits? And, you know, there's always these exceptions. However, boy, if there's any time to snap on the big bait, it's right now.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, there's all these concepts and arguments and theories as to why the big bait works better right now. And one of them always has been, you know, well, you know, the bait fish are all growing up and, you know, they're bigger now than they were 3 months ago.
Yeah,
and sure. Well, maybe that may be true. But I think one of the big things too is that, you know, these fish, that same sense these fish have about, you know, it's time to eat, it's time to feed, it's time to put on the feed bag. Mm-hmm. Female muskies in particular, you know, they're starting to develop their spawn already.
Mm-hmm.
If one died on you and you cleaned it, you'd probably find out that, you know, there's definitely some spawn developing.
Right.
But what you will find out too is that because there's egg, they're early in this whole egg developing process, they instinctively want to build a fat layer.
Right.
So, you know, they want to get fatter and they to nurse their young, and they're, you know, so they want to eat big.
Right.
So that's one of the things, you know, big glide baits, big blades this time of the year are mm-hmm. good. The bigger topwater baits are great. Now, could you catch, with all that aside, could you catch a, you know, fish on a little bait? Of course.
Right.
You know, of course. But what I'm saying is now the big bait, you know, works and it tends to, you know, it tends to really attract the biggest fish in the system. Mm-hmm. I know that one of the, you know, like even in Wisconsin, the big blades, the real big blades, you know, the right. double tens and stuff. double tens seem to always work okay for me in Canada over the years, right?
Right.
But when I came back to Wisconsin, or Wisconsin trips, when I developed even our mag tinsel, that the biggest Booker tail we make,
pulls like was, a Mack truck.
Yeah, and
it's a big fish. Absolutely.
Yeah, but Wisconsin fish didn't respond always the best to the real big blades all through the summer period. Mm-hmm. However, this time of the year, the month of September, the month of October, you know, that mag tinsel, those big blades caught the big fish, you know, right. And some of my biggest fall muskies on blades have come on big blades. In fact, I can remember not that long ago where I got a double figure eight on, you know, 30-pound class muskies, like back to back. They were basically a cast apart.
Whoa.
It's a cool story, you know, it's because, mm-hmm. I love to tell stories inside our podcast and the things that we do, because it kind of, you know, it's kind of, it kind of gives people confidence in what they're doing. And I rely on, just like you do, you rely on experiences. Well, you know, when we scored last year, September, here were the conditions and what we did. Well, here's a cool story. Right. This is back when my son was playing high school football and we had a snowstorm coming. An early fall, like a late September, early October snowstorm. You know, my wife and I, Beth and I, were looking at that snowstorm going, oh man, we're gonna have to sit in the stands in a snowstorm and watch our son play football. and you know, I got this little window. I just we're still running the tackle business at the time. I just finished editing Muskie Hunter magazine and putting that to bed. And I got this little window of about 2.5 hours to fish.
Right.
So I pop out of the shop out there west side of Eagle River, and I run down. You know, we had Kentuck and we have 7 Mile down on the west side. The west side, you know, close to the shop there. So I thought, you know, Kentuck's too far. Yeah, but I saw Kentuck's too far. I'm going to just zip into 7 Mile, right?
Okay.
So I zip into 7 Mile, put the boat in, you know, run over to a spot, and I'm looking at that, you know, that north wind blowing, right? So I'm going to set up on a spot where the north wind is pounding into the corner of this spot, northwest wind. Mm-hmm. And I set up, and I make like, I don't know, the snow. The rain's coming down, and it's changing the snow.
Right.
And I keep looking at my watch going, hey, I got pretty quick. I got about an hour and a half, and I make maybe a dozen casts, and base coming in, it gets real close. And I go, I see a big fish coming, but it's raining and it's snowing so hard. I can barely see the fish. Mm-hmm. So I do a figure eight with a mag tinsel. Boom. I get this big fish on. I'm battling. I got nobody with me.
Right.
I got no cameras. I got nothing. These fish were never photographed, never recorded.
Right.
And I fight this fish, Steve, all over. You know, winds blow me way off out in the open water. Mm-hmm. I finally get this fish because you're landing them by yourself. Right.
Right. Oh,
and
you've met, yeah.
You know, it's a nightmare. So I get the fish in, and, you know, I don't have a camera. I got, you know, this was like, you know, cell phones didn't do what they do now.
Right.
You know, it's like, no. So I put the fish, I measured a fish. I think back then I was still measuring them. And I think it was like 49, 49 and a half. Mm-hmm. Nice big Wisconsin fish, right?
Yeah.
Put the fish back, fire up the outboard, go back to the same spot, throw the motors down, step up on the deck, check my hooks. Steve, I'm not kidding. I check my hooks. I make a cast. Uh-huh. I'm bringing the bait in, and I go, it's like deja vu.
Yeah.
What? You know, they were twins.
We just did this.
Yeah, Steve, this fish comes in. He's the identical size. He's within a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
He hits in the same way. You know, fight the fish over. I know, what a great show that would have been, hey?
Fight the fish.
Yeah. So I put the second big fish back. You know, I got 60 pounds plus of muskies here, you know, in like really a back-to-back cast. I run over, put the boat on the trailer, you know, go pick up Beth, and we go to the football game. And you know, how'd you do out there today? Well, you wouldn't believe it, you know.
Right.
It was just a fish story. I got no photos. Yeah, right. But that's what could happen in cold fronts in the fall.
Absolutely.
And those fish were shallow. And they hit big baits.
I love what you're saying, because it's so, we've been harping on the 360 podcast and some other stuff about the magic window of fall, right?
Yeah.
Where everything in your gut might say, go to the outside edge, where I told Minnesota anglers, we might want to fish that first sort of that break edge or where light penetration doesn't get down to the bottom. But until turnover happens, you've got to fish shallow. You got to fish big. Right. So yep. Everything goes out the window in some capacity until turnover happens, until there's another dynamic change where these fish are shallow and they are ready to rock and roll. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's really interesting, and here's something to bank on too, as our listeners are trying to put together a pattern, is like, you can duplicate these things just like I did there with the double big ones. Mm-hmm. I went back to that spot a few years later. You're about to get blasted by a train. Yeah. A train again. You can hear them.
Yeah. It's train full of Booker tails.
Yeah.
Towards Wisconsin.
Long train running.
Brothers.
So anyways, so I pick up my old Hungarian buddy Gabor, mm-hmm, and Mike Novak, and say, you know, they're coming up for a long weekend of fishing this time of the year. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, you know, we got going late. I said, well, let's just stop off at 7 Mile, then we'll go down to Kentuck. And, you know, tomorrow we'll make a little longer trip. We'll go up, fish some of these other bodies of water. So anyways, we go to the same body of water, pull up to the same spot. and I said, no, this is cool, right? Yeah. So I said to Gabor and to Mike Novak, I remember I used to call him Sasquatch. I don't know if you remember those old episodes. He's the guy who's most famous for the what we call the drop squatch, where he was going to pick up a 50. He was like a mid 50 inch fish. Mm-hmm. He's going to pick it up for a photograph, and the fish flopped overboard, and he never got a photo. Yeah, but anyways, we pull up to the same spot. I said, okay, guys, you get first, second pick on what you want to fish with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Gabor goes, I will fish with the top water lure. You know, he's a Hungarian. Right. Give me the top raider.
Right.
So he gets the top raider, and Mike says, well, you know what? I'm going to fish with a shallow raider. I'm going to jerk it over top the stuff. You know, let's go. So, are you guys sure this is what you want to fish with? Well, they're both looking, they go, well, what would you choose? I says, oh, I'm going with that mag. I'm going with that mag tinsel that I
black and nickel, please.
Right. Yeah. I got that double on this on a few years back, you know, so I'm going to go with that baby. So, and they're like, oh, are you sure you're going to, you know, now they're trying to talk me into this. Right, I gave you first and second shot. So I snapped the bait on, Steve. We started fishing, and I'll bet you I didn't make more than 3 casts.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing happens.
Boom.
Same thing happens. Here comes this big fish right to the boat, bigger than the two that the double that I got a few years ago. It was over 50. Eats the whole 10 inches of bait.
Damn.
You know, I unbelievable. I'm thrashing, battling this fish, and it was the only fish we caught that weekend.
Yeah.
That's a good one. But it was a giant.
Right.
Yeah, it was a giant. So it just shows you that what you say about the magic window of fall, you can have dead fishing, lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just keep swinging that bat because
absolutely.
Right?
Well,
right?
That's the thing is a lot of times I've talked about augmenting your game plan as things change. That's that weird thing where shut up, throw shallow, throw big.
Yep.
It will happen.
Yep. Yep. And, you know what? I did have an old line in my guidebook said, mm-hmm, quit bitching, keep fishing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, right. The fish ain't here. You can complain about, I should have been here yesterday. You know, are you sure that this guide is as good as everybody says he is?
Right.
All this other stuff, you know. If you're dealing with wild creatures in the outdoors, and you're dealing with conditions and circumstances and, mm-hmm, and weather patterns that can change in a moment, and yet at the same time, you know, and there's something here's, you know, but I'm about to say is something that, mm-hmm, you and I've experienced so many times, that there are those moments in your career where there was nothing going on.
Yeah.
There's no weather front. There's no nothing.
Oh, awful.
There's the wind isn't even blowing, right?
Yeah.
And you catch you lock up with a monster.
Yeah.
That's why you keep throwing, keep swinging the bat.
The funny thing is this, and Joe, you guided for so long, and I've been doing it for eons now. You have to set a tone for the day, right?
Yes,
and
you do.
We've never talked about, but a lot of times you show up at the boat ramp with me and it's high, bright, sun, dead, flat, calm. I'll look at you and go, listen, we're facing some tough stuff. Get ready for the grind, right?
Yep.
And you kind of want to set up the disappointment early. You know? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to come out here and smack four, right?
Yeah.
We're looking for one or two contacts. I did it the other day. We did a video on a bait I've been working on. And here we come out, and this guy's never musky fished, and his fifth cast, he got a 50. And it looked horrible. Looked absolutely horrible. And he just goes, jerk, 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 bang. And that's the thing. It's like that X factor in musky fishing where you got to run the play. Yep. You got to have that confidence to do what you're doing. Where I think when guys lose the thread in this pre-turnover thing, they'll go, oh, the lake's turning over. I've heard that a million times. How many times have you heard it, like, the lakes have not turned over, but dudes are going, that's turned over. And it's kind of the opposite. Like, you'll spend all summer doing not enough, right? Guys will go from opener to close. They'll throw 700s, right, double eights, and bulldogs. And then we get in the fall, and they know things are changing. Now they get experimental. And it seems to me to be the opposite of you need to be more versatile during the summer, but this fall pre-turnover, you need to be hard-headed and do one or two things really well.
Well, you know, you can put 10 guys in a room and go into that discussion, and they may all have a different way of looking at it.
But I would take yours over time. You could put 10,000 in a room, and whatever you say to that, I'm going to take your
Booker. Know what?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, buddy. I'll tell you, I got one more story for you that deals with this pre-turnover that it's maybe the best story of all. Uh-huh. I this is back when I was still doing TV. Mm-hmm. I've got the vice president of manufacturing, and I've got the vice president and the vice president of special events and stuff. And I got two big VPs from Miller Brewing Company, my biggest sponsor. Miller Brewing Company used to be a big sponsor of the outdoors back when the guys who were at Miller, by the way, and they were from Milwaukee, and they were outdoorsmen. They deer hunted and musky fished, and they were big. And anyways, I got Marty Costello and Jerry Scheidt with me, and I got to take these guys musky fishing, and the weather it's a September day. The weather sucks.
Mm-hmm. You're like,
I mean, what I mean by sucks, it was just gorgeous. It was a ski boat jet skier day.
Mm-hmm.
There was no wind. I'm dragging my feet even to take them out. I says, hey, come on, I'll take you out to lunch. Right. You know, let's go drink a couple of Miller High Lifes and have a nice fish.
You guys
fry.
Like bowling at all? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm dragging it out. We're just, having a good conversation, and I'm going to pitch them on a little bit of this. I didn't have to pitch those guys much on sponsorship because they were so in on the whole deal. But anyways, we get out on the water, and like I said, nothing going on weather-wise, right? Nothing.
And I think what you're getting at, I think the mental pressure of a sponsorship too, right? I think if you're missing what he's saying, it's like, these people pay me money, and I'm expected to do magical things regardless.
Oh, yes. Yes. Right. And they expect it because, if you're fish with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you fish with me, all of a sudden, the fish jump in the boat.
Right.
So unfortunately, or fortunately that day, Steve, they jumped in the boat. I mean, we put the boat in the water, light and variable winds,
right.
Nothing really going on.
Right.
We catch the short version of this long story is we catch 10 muskies.
Come on.
In one afternoon.
Yeah.
One afternoon after dilly dallying, having Miller High Lifes and burgers and fish fries.
Milking the clock, right?
Just milking the clock, Steve. Right. And I'm looking for one.
Yeah. Oh,
and the other thing, Steve, we're catching them on everything.
Oh, come on.
We're catching them on everything. And then to top it all off, Marty Costello pops a monster.
Oh, come on.
I know. It was like, it was the day of all days. It's on one of our YouTube videos. It's called Marty's Monster.
Uh-huh.
And for any of the folks, you know, that want to go check it out, Marty's Monster. It was a September day that just blew you. It's just like it blew everything that you've ever thought about. Got to be out on fronts and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm running a depth reader on the weed line, for example.
Right.
I'm catching them.
Yeah.
Marty's running blades. Marty and Jerry are both running topwater and blades over these big weed flats on Big Sand Lake. You ever been on Big Sand?
Oh, yeah.
Got big flats mm-hmm. with these giant, you know, giant milfoil beds and whatnot. And so, you know, it's just a cool lake. And anyways, we caught 10 fish on Big Sand Lake that one afternoon.
Come on.
And I know. And Marty put it, you know, Marty caught the fish of a lifetime. And it was just amazing. So, you know, I guess where I'm going with this is, you know, give our listeners some great stories as examples. Mm-hmm. Is that, boy, that's why you just keep swinging the bat, because, you know, you can tell your clients at the beginning, this doesn't, you know, we better buckle in. It's going to be a tough one. Mm-hmm. And then you can have the day. I still don't get what happened that day.
Dude,
I still
don't, that's the thing. It's like here, you know. As a guide, you know, 99% of the time you're right. And there's that 1% X factor of, well, it's working, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
And it'll drive you nuts. But you're going, I ain't mad about it. You know, where, you know, you take out the film. I've done it. You take out the film crew. You take out the sponsor. You take out the guy that's giving you free boats or free engines. And you're going, man, if I don't put him on one, I'm going to look like a real douche. But there's those weird days you got with some, you know, goober clients and all hell's breaking loose and you can't explain it. But, you know, you've been talking about this shallow fall bite, right? The next phase is going to be turnover. How does someone, and I think for me, I've dealt with turnover so little. How do you start? What are the first signs of that when we know we need to sort of change our game plan a little bit? Like, what's the inkling?
You know, I don't want to hit it too much because I'd like to visit mm-hmm. with you again about
Absolutely.
That. Okay, because you know this weather will change here,
right?
And I want my listeners that listen to this to get stuff they can grab it and go now,
right?
But I'll touch on the turnover. There's a real easy way to deal with turnover. How do you recognize it? Well, when you start getting a lot of cold fronts mm-hmm. with nights in the 30s and 40s with wind, you can bet your sweet apple you're after two or three right. days of that, especially cold nights, you're in the turnover period. Now,
Good.
the best way to avoid it is fish bodies of water that don't turn over.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best advice. I've said this for years.
What kind of bodies don't turn over? Because I don't know.
Shallow waters.
Okay,
shallow
like
water
a
lakes.
Lac Vie d'Isere.
Lac Vie d'Isere, Palmer Lakes, you know, mm-hmm. You know, Ballard and Irving up by us. You know, any of these bodies of water that don't have deep basins, they don't turn over. They don't stratify. See, they're too shallow. They don't they don't have stellar climbs.
Like a tomahawk is going to turn mm-hmm. over because you've got this. Oh.
Yes. And the deeper the body of water, the bigger and the deeper the body of water, the longer the turnover process. So
something like,
you know, it's
clear water like Presque Isle that has depth and it's going to be clustery. Because that's the thing. I've never had to answer that. Like, how do you indicate the turnover?
Here's the thing, too, is it doesn't occur at the same time on all these different bodies of water.
Uh-huh.
The size of the volume and the size of the body of water determines when it actually turns over. Because, you know, the larger the body of water and the more depth it has, especially if you have big, deep water, it takes a while for that turnover. It can go into a long, dead process. At the same time, you know, you get a shallow body of water that even the shallow bodies of water that had a thermal climb that turned over, they snap back pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the easiest way to tell when I don't want to go too far into it. The easiest way to tell right. when a body of water has stable, I call it stabilized, and then you're basically pulse turnover, is water color is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
water colors, you know, in most of the waters up by us, for example, they get this like a tannic brown color to them, even the clear waters, mm-hmm. because what it did is it literally did turn over. It took some of that debris that was below the thermocline that was on these silty bottoms and just moved it and turned it and mixed it and brought it up and wow. mixed it with the whole body of water. So it turns it into, you know, it's like taking French press coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with French press coffee?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you got all of this, you got all this stuff compressed in this, you know, and you got clear water. Yeah. And then when you take and push that down to French press that body into coffee, now you got stained water. And that's what happens, you know. This is limnology, you know, 101, right. You know, Book Daddy Limnology 101.
But it's great to know. I mean, it's so funny, like some of the questions that seem so complex, you just answered it perfect. How do I avoid turnover? Stay off of lakes that turn over. That's the best advice I've ever heard. Because
here's an even easier piece of advice is if you're concerned or you're not confident, mm-hmm. after a few hours of fishing and you think that you're in dealing with a negative lake that's in that turnover process and you're not, you know, the fish don't seem to be responding and nothing seems to be active, get off that lake.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of there. And this is what I used to do a lot as a guide, is go, hey, we're not getting, you know, jumping bodies of water for me. You know, when I was still guiding in, even all the years I did TV, especially in Wisconsin, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
let's move.
If you're not, you know, yeah, just move. Just go, just find greener pastures. And at the very least, you know, you know, you give yourself kind of like a spark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've been at something for 2 or 3 hours and you're just not getting any movement on fish, especially if you've gone through a good, you know, what you consider a good moon phase or a good mm-hmm. weather phase, and you didn't get movement on that body of water, you know, give yourself a fresh approach and a spark to your game by just going to a different body of water. And then when you go to a different body of water, you know, the best thing you can do is pick something that's really noticeably different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
don't go one for one, go from clear to dark to clear. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, absolutely. One last thing is this is where rivers, flowages and rivers can really, really come into play as an advantage. Rivers in general, they don't have turnover. Mm-hmm. You know, you have water flow all the time. And some of these reservoirs, you know, a lot of these reservoirs that are smaller, they don't turn over because you have so much water flow through them. And it's particular when you're getting a lot of fall rains.
Yep.
You know, when you get that, you know, that you get the spring rains and then you get the September and October rains. If we start to get into a rainy period, especially on water flow systems, flowages and real bona fide rivers, you just get in those backwaters and you're ready to go, baby, because you don't have turnover.
Yeah, they're there. They're there the whole time. Yeah. So fantastic. Yeah. Like I said, I wasn't trying to take down the route of turnover, but it's good to know sort of like what we're looking for at before we get to the next tactical.
Well, let's visit that. You know, let's visit this in a few weeks, because then, you know, water temperature wise, you know, we're dealing with those low 70s and the 60s uh-huh. for the most part in our conversation today.
Right.
You know, when we come back and visit this in a few weeks, we're going to be talking 50s. And right. if we don't get together and talk about this for 3 or 4 weeks, then we'll be talking about 40s.
No,
up
we'll
here.
Get we need to hit it, because there's so many like benchmarks right now. Right.
Especially in the fall.
Especially in the fall. We get it. Yeah. We get down to the 40s. Like, all right, here's the Sucker Daddy podcast. Bobber or no bobber. But
and trolling, right. And deep water trolling, absolutely. You know, so we'll get there, but we're not there yet.
Focus on that shallow water. Focus on those big presentations. What else would you say before we wrap her up there, Joe Daddy?
Big baits, shallow water, you know, keep an eye on bait fish, get on good spots at good times. You know, that watch late in, for me, late in the afternoon, early evening seems to be the best overall. Mm-hmm. And just stay with it. because, you know, you just don't know that, you know, that, you know, those stories I told inside our podcast where, you know, little windows and, you know, caught big fish. And then to have one day where they just explode, you know, those days will happen. And sometimes it'll happen when you least expect it. So you just got to, you know, and I guess the last thing I would say, be mobile. You know, be mobile.
Make a move.
If you're not, don't be afraid to move, especially if you're in a situation where you can move, you're not stuck on one body of water, get around. And if you're on a big body of water where you're, you know, where you're just fishing the same, you know, the same system for, you know, your trip or your weekend or your week that you're up, you know, make drastic moves from one end of that place to the other. You know, if you're not doing well on the south end, get to the north end, you know, and east or west, you know, and always be looking for bait fish. Absolutely. Always be looking for bait fish.
Well, you can ask for much more for a fall game plan than that, guys. Check it out. There's that Marty's Monster. What a great fish. Joe, very shortly, we'll do a follow-up on this for sort of that mid-fall, that next transitional zone on the Joe Booker's Tactical Muskie podcast.
Sounds good, buddy. Good talking to you.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.